The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Stephen Donnelly, the Minister for Health, you might remember, tasked the expert advisory group on rapid testing to look into antigen testing and how it might be used. Well, today they published their interim report. And Paddy Mallon, Professor Paddy Mallon, is a professor of microbial diseases at the University College Dublin at their School of Medicine. And he's a consultant in infectious diseases at St. Vincent's University Hospital. And he joins me now. Paddy, as always, you're very welcome to the show. What have you found in this interim report?
Thanks, Kieran. So I guess the interim report has identified that there is a role for antigen testing in our pandemic response in Ireland, in much the same way as there's a role for antigen testing in the pandemic response in most European countries at this stage. It's identified three what we call macro themes that we think need to be worked on, developed and rolled out in order to successfully deploy antigen testing. And the three themes are really ensuring that there's proper communications around the use of the test. So how to use it, how to interpret it, how to take proper actions based on a test. There's an operational readiness, because there's no point having a test if you don't have an infrastructure around the test, especially if you're rolling it out nationally or within sectors to actually decrease the risk of transmission of SARS-CoV-2. And then finally, there's an element that needs to be developed around guidelines for testing. So these three macro themes we've described in detail in the report, and our hope is that moving forward, we'll see these implemented quite quickly.
And in terms of the implementation of those advices to government, it's quite clear that there needs to be a communication strategy to inform the public about how antigen tests work and when they are useful and how to use them. Talk to me a little bit about that.
So the antigen tests, like every single test that we use, whether in medicine or not, they have their advantages and disadvantages. The antigen test advantages clearly are you can deploy them on a large scale. They're relatively cheap. So they're the sort of things that you can put out at a population or sectoral level. And they provide results very quickly. So you get a turnaround time on these results of 15 minutes, between 15 and 30 minutes. And they're relatively easy to use. So they are the sorts of things that people do not necessarily need a huge amount of training to use. So they're very different from PCR tests. So that's the good thing about antigen tests. The downside to antigen tests is that they're not as good as PCR. But what you need to do then is you recognize the qualities, the good points and the bad points of the test, and you implement programs that take those advantages and disadvantages on board. And that's what this report tends to do. But what we need to tell the public is that, for example, if you have symptoms of SARS-CoV-2 and you want to diagnose SARS-CoV-2, get a PCR test. If you decide to do an antigen test and it's positive, it's great because you know, okay, there's a good chance I could have SARS-CoV-2, I should isolate, but make sure to get a confirmatory PCR test. Mm. But if you have symptoms of SARS-CoV-2 and you do an antigen test and it's negative, you still need to get a PCR test. The PCR test will tell you if you do, you don't have it. What antigen tests are about is mitigating risk for transmission, and that's really where they come into their own. They pick up the majority of cases that are infectious, and if you use them especially in asymptomatic settings, you can pick up the estimate about 30 to 40% of people with SARS-CoV-2 won't develop symptoms.
Yeah.
And these tests would be an excellent, cheap, scalable way of identifying asymptomatic but infectious people. And that will break the chain of transmissions to enable us to more safely partake in the activities that we all want to partake in as part of normal day-to-day life.
So it's not a case, because sometimes, you know, people, I suppose, are dismissive of antigen tests because they compare them unfavorably to PCR, which are much more accurate. It's not a case of one or the other. It's a case of, you know, each to their own. And actually, antigen testing has a role in tandem. It's more of a screening role, it sounds like you're describing.
It's not a diagnostic test. You're exactly, you know, and that's the key, Kieran. If you want to diagnose COVID, get a PCR test. If you want to screen for COVID to reduce risk, antigen tests are excellent for that. And they're excellent for that because we take into account the fact that there's no alternative that has the same characteristics. You can't give everyone in the country PCR tests. You just don't have the money or the time. So they got the characteristics that lend themselves to widespread screening. And that's exactly the types of characteristics that we're exploiting within the report. in terms of how these should be used. And it's about risk mitigation to allow us to replace the sort of blanket restrictions that we've had with different types of innovation that can lead us more to a safer lifestyle.
This is an interim report. Is there a full report to come, and when might we expect it?
So it's an interim report. The group was initially established with a lifespan of 6 months. So we're about halfway through the work. There's a huge amount of work that's already been achieved within that 3 months. The plan is then, I suppose, at the end of the 6 months, that we'll see what we've achieved in terms of how the tests have been implemented. And at that stage, I would imagine that there will be a full report of the workings of the group at that stage.
I mean, that's, early next year. Do you think really the government can afford to wait for a full report before rolling out antigen testing in more situations and scenarios?
No, so a lot of work is already ongoing in the area. So, for example, within the comms perspective, we've agreed a range of communications that we've now passed back to government sectors for action. Within that operational readiness part, I could give you a couple of major major advances that have happened. So, for example, the HSE a few weeks ago, on the back of discussions and guidance from our committee, have implemented a web-based reporting system where people can actually report positive and negative antigen tests. And I would encourage anyone that's doing an antigen test to report it on that system. That links reports straight into the PCR testing system. So it's a way of us linking personal testing through to the national testing program, a really important component. And then the third part, in terms of guidelines for testing, we've been working very closely with really people internationally on an evidence base where we get up-to-date evidence on a weekly basis that guides us as to which sectors in society have the highest risk of SARS-CoV-2. And on the back of that, we're able to provide specific risk updated weekly to government departments on specific common activities such as going to a nightclub, going on a bus tour, going to a wedding. And we can actually start providing those different government sectors with guidance as to what is the most appropriate testing strategy to mitigate risk within those activities. And so these are very major advances that are happening at the moment, and they'll continue to happen over the next couple of months. So it's not like you'll be waiting for 6 months for action. The action's already in place.
Paddy, pleasure as always, and thanks a million for your time. Professor Paddy Mallon is Professor of Microbial Diseases at UCD's School of Medicine, and he's a consultant in infectious diseases at St. Vincent's University Hospital.